Thank you. Today, April 12, 2015, as you can see from the title of the message, it's Some Assembly Required. It's taken from 1 Peter 2, 4 through 10. Let me pray this morning. Father, thank you for the opportunity to come today before your people and your church, Father, to lay out your word, Father. We invite you to be here with us, Lord. We pray that you would move through this service in a mighty way, Father, that our hearts would be changed, that our hearts would be molded, just like the potter does with the clay, Father. And we want to be molded in your image to do your will and your calling in our lives, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Many believers view the Christian life more from the standpoint of spiritual duty rather than spiritual freedom. We tend to be preoccupied with the temporal pleasures of what we view as obligations and do not cherish the lasting privileges and freedom God has given us to enjoy. I worry that some often think of those privileges and freedoms as blessings reserved only for heaven, to be appreciated in the presence of God and Christ in that place of perfect joy and perfect peace and harmony and unity and rest and knowledge and wisdom. As Christians, we have to know who we are. We have to stop letting the world tell us who we are. We are the children of God. We're saints. We're being sanctified. We're secure. We're holy. We have royal blood flowing through our veins. That's who we are. There are those who are not acting like they should act because they don't remember who they are. In this passage of 1 Peter chapter 2, starting at verse 4, the Apostle Peter emphasizes the richness of privileges and freedoms that we as believers already have in Christ. The first two verses, 4 and 5, say this: "And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." When we come to Christ as believers, we enter the realm of spiritual privilege and freedoms. In your listening, God, I put this sentence: Jesus himself, with Peter and the other apostles as eyewitnesses, called people to do what? To abandon the turmoil of their sin and come to him in faith and experience true soul rest. We want to cry out that call every week here at CCF for the people to come to him in faith. Jesus said in Matthew 11, 28 and 29, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Because of Christ, our once troubled soul was at peace. Are you here today with a troubled soul? Do you need peace in your life? The stone talked about in verse 4 here in 1 Peter chapter 2 is living, and that it is personal. He is a life-giving stone. I believe Peter used a metaphor of a living stone to identify the one to whom believers come. That's Jesus Christ. And to launch his discussion of spiritual privileges and freedoms here in these verses. As we look at verse 5, I can break down some of the spiritual freedoms we have as being children of God. The verse tells us that we have the privilege of union with Christ. Look at that first part of verse 5. "You also as living stones." The second part of verse 5 says we're being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. That gives us the privilege of access to God as priest. The last part of verse 5 in chapter 2 says to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That means we have the privilege of access to God through spiritual sacrifices. Now, you might be sitting here today and you hear these words, spiritual sacrifices, and they say, and you might be asking, well, what are spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Christ? In your listening, God, I put the New Testament sets forth several spiritual sacrifices for us. Our bodies, our praise, our good works, our possessions, our converts, our love, and our prayers. And you think about it, God remains the infinite, inexhaustible source of all goodness, visible in the beauties of creation and His experience in His mercy towards sinners. This made me think about James 1:17 when it says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. His ultimate and most generous goodness is the gift of redemption from sin, which culminates with eternal life. The Apostle Peter wanted us to continue to focus on God's goodness, which had been granted in all spiritual privileges and freedoms. As we saw in verses 4 and 5, he affirmed for us the first two privileges as union with Christ and access to Christ that is expressed through us as we are being made a holy priesthood as we offer spiritual sacrifices. Now in verses 6 through the beginning of verse 9, Peter presents four more spiritual privileges for us as believers to understand. And these privileges are so important for us to understand. Number one, a security in Christ. Verse 6, for this is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. In that verse, you see Jesus as a choice stone, God's chosen one. He is not only a choice stone, but a precious cornerstone, the scriptures tell us. Precious meaning unequaled in value, costly, irreplaceable. When we put our trust in him, we will not be disappointed. Romans 10, 11 through 13 says this, for the scripture says, whoever believes in him will not be disappointed. For there is no distinction between Jew and Gentile, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who will call on him. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So one, we have security in Christ. Next, we have affection for Christ. Look at the two next verses in 1 Peter 2, verse 7. This precious value then is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone was which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. Jesus told the Jews in John 8, 42, if God were your Father, you would love me. In the upper room discourse, he told his apostles in John 14, 21, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Later in that same discourse, Jesus said this, for the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me and have believed that I have come from the Father. Believing in Christ and loving him are therefore inseparable privileges and freedoms that we have. Back in the first chapter of 1 Peter, in verse 8 and 9, it says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of our faith the salvation of our souls. That's why we come in here every Sunday, because we believe in him and we greatly rejoice in him. That's why we gather on Sunday morning in Bible studies, or Wednesday night in Bible studies, or community groups in your neighborhoods, because we believe in him and we greatly rejoice in him. And we want to take that rejoicing and that faith we have because we believe in him and take it and share it to the world, because he calls us to do that. Only those who believe manifest their surpassing love for Christ. And I hope you have that kind of love for him today. I thank him every day. I have that love for him. But in contrast to those verses, those who do not believe do not and will not love Christ. They're like blinded by the light. You remember that old song? Revved up like a deuce. Another runner in the light, blinded by the light. We are God's creation, and He dictates to us why we exist and can tell us what we are designed to do. He gives us our purpose. If we operate outside of our reason for being, that's when we experience problems. In your listening, God, I put walking in the purpose God designed for us is how we fulfill our unique reason for being. Number three, we're appointed by Christ. I'm sure you've heard this beginning of this verse in chapter 9, 1 Peter 2, but you are a chosen race. You are a chosen race. We have been given the blessing of being appointed by Christ. We are spiritual people elected by God Himself. The Apostle Peter again drew this terminology from an Old Testament passage. Deuteronomy 7, 6 through 9 says, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for His own possession of out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love on you, nor chose you because you were more in number than any of the peoples, for you were the fewest of all the peoples. Because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which He swore to your forefathers, the Lord brought you out by a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God, He is God, the faithful God. He keeps His covenant, His loving kindness to the thousandth generation with those who love Him and keep His commandments." Look at those promises from God's Word from the Old Testament. Soak on those four verses this week in Deuteronomy 7. So we're appointed by Christ. Number four, we have dominion with Christ. How do we know that? Because 1 Peter chapter 2 in the second part of verse 9, it says, "We are royal priesthood," which means that all of us who believe in Jesus as Messiah and trust Him alone for salvation receive the privilege of becoming royal priesthood. Revelation 5:10 says, "You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." And as we come to understand and walk in these spiritual privileges and freedoms from having security in Christ, affection in Christ, appointed by Christ, that we have dominion with Him. And we ought to be thrilled into the abundance, praise, and worship. He wants to teach our children these things, to share these things with those who don't know Him. And as we dig into the rest of verse 9 and verse 10, we see five additional spiritual privileges and freedoms that He has given us. Number five, separation to Christ. He says in the third part of verse 9 of 1 Peter 2, "We are a holy nation." The word nation translates ethnos, which means people as an ethnic group. Holy hagios means separated or set apart. And you're listening, God, I put God sets apart believers primarily to have a relationship with Him. And service to Him flows out of that relationship. Years earlier at the Jerusalem Council, Peter stood up and said this in chapter 15 of Acts. After there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brethren, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, and by my mouth the Gentiles will hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, testified by them, giving them the Holy Spirit, just as He also did to us. And He made no distinction between us and them, cleansing their heart by what? By faith." So we're separated to Christ. Number six, we are a possession by Christ, a people for God's own possession. Again, this foreshadows the truth of Peter's statement that Christians are now a people for God's own possession. Number seven, illumination in Christ. "Who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light," it says at the end of verse 9 of 1 Peter 2. Throughout history, unbelievers face two kinds of darkness, intellectual and moral. Think about that. Intellectual darkness is ignorance, the inability to see and know the truth, whereas moral darkness is immorality, the inability to see and do what is right. The darkness that Peter's referring to here really, I believe, is the second type, the sinful state of unbelievers who are trapped in the spiritual darkness of Satan, the prince of darkness. Unbelievers are children born in the darkness. They not only walk in darkness, they love darkness. However, Peter reminds us that Christ has sovereignly, powerfully, and effectively called us out of darkness. The positive side of Christ calling sinners out of darkness is, as they are also therefore called into his marvelous light. Number 8, we have compassion from Christ. Look at verse 10 and 1 Peter 2. For you were once not a people, but now you are the people of God. You have not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. As unbelievers, really, when you think about it, the Gentiles, they knew no compassion for Christ, had no compassion from Christ. So once they were not a people, but now they had become the people of God. Why? Because we have received his mercy. And you're listening, God, I put mercy as synonymous with compassion, and essentially involves God's sympathy with sinners, misery and his withholding from us, and just punishment for our sins. Number 9, proclamation of Christ. We go back in the middle there, 1 Peter 2, verse 9, when it says, so you may proclaim the excellencies of him. So finally, God has provoked his kaleidoscope of spiritual privileges for believers for one overarching purpose, so that we may proclaim the excellencies of Christ. There's no higher privilege than to be a herald for the gospel. Herald means messenger. It means bearer of news. It means harbinger. I'd like to close with 1 Timothy chapter 1, 12 through 17. This is like Paul's testimony to the world. This is like Paul's testimony to the generations to come, as we understand what our spiritual freedoms and privileges are. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into his service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor, yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly and in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. In verse 15 of 1 Timothy 1, it said, it is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am foremost of all. In verse 16, he says, yet for this reason I found mercy, so that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example for those who would believe in him for eternal life. That verse is for everyone seated in here today. That we would find mercy. We pray that you would find mercy through Christ, and that he may demonstrate his perfect patience as an example to us because we have believed in him for eternal life. Paul closes his testimony by saying in verse 17, now to the King, eternal, immortal, invincible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So if I wanted to recap today's message for you, in 1 Peter 2, 4 and 5, he affirmed the first two privileges as that we have a union with Christ and access to Christ. And then in the rest of the verses there, from verses 6 through 10, he shows us these spiritual privileges and freedoms that I hope you ponder on this week, that I hope you realize you have them because of Christ. We have security in him, affection for him, appointed by him, dominion with him, separation to him, possession by him, illumination we have in Christ, compassion from Christ, proclamation of Christ. So these are the spiritual freedoms that we have. Anyone here today that would like to receive and experience these privileges and freedoms today, April 12, 2015. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for your word today, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to come to proclaim your works, your spiritual privileges and freedoms that we have in you, Father. Father, I pray that we've been encouraged by these today, Lord. Father, I pray that we can walk out of here today and walk through these doors and go out into our neighborhoods and our workplaces and share these things that we have because of his mercy to us and for us. Thank you, Father, for this opportunity today. I love you today, Lord. And I want to keep loving you, and I want to seek you first in everything that I do. And Father, I pray that for everyone who's seated here today, Lord, that they would seek you first, your kingdom and your righteousness, Father, so that all these things would be added unto us. And when I think about that verse, all these things, these are the spiritual freedoms and privileges that we have in you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Love you all today. Thank you, Father.